We know you're uncertain about psychics. Is this fortune teller you found on a forum legit?
Your one true love is...
me!
That's why California psychics reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work with us. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. New customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. So, experience the joy of certainty at californiapsychics.com. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Toast the holidays in a new way and raise a glass of rum chata. A delicious creamy blend of horchata with rum. Enjoy it over ice or in your coffee. Rum chata, your holiday cocktails just got sweeter. Tap or click the banner for more. Drink responsibly. Caribbean rum with real dairy cream, natural and artificial flavors. Alcohol 13.75% by volume, 27.5 proof. Copyright 2025 Agave Logo Brands, Pewaukee, Wisconsin. All rights reserved.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Nobody I'd rather be talking to, I think, after the Pete Alonso news. Let's go. The Pete Alonso news, the Edwin Diaz news. If you want to lump in the Brandon Nimmo news, am I missing any other news for the Mets?
I mean, those were the main things. Obviously, they were linked with some guys that signed, but it was nothing.
Schwarber.
Like Schwarber, but they were very much on the periphery, it felt like. And I think those are the main gist.
Well, it's you know what they say, Evan, you tear down to build up, right?
Yeah, I know.
So I got to think, and I don't know how, before you sort of rant and rave or whatever you're going to do, he's a smart guy. David Stern's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Steve Cohen's a smart guy, right? Yeah. He is a smart guy with a lot of money. They know their fan base. They read their fan base. It's one thing to sort of piece together pitching in a certain way, but piecing together an entire team in a certain way, I don't know if they're going to do this. So what I'm saying is that as low as you feel right now, better times are ahead. I think this is the epitome of you just got to be patient. But I don't want you to be patient. I want you to be angry. So go ahead. Be angry.
No, yeah. It was the crazy combination of – obviously, it was more so like the fact that it seemed like every person who was here for the longest amount of time all left within a span of a couple weeks. And I think that's the thing that's most baffling. Like, it's one thing to lose, you know, Cedric Mullins and Ryan Hill, all the guys we acquired at the deadline, all signing elsewhere. I was like, who cares? They stunk. But it was more so like Brandon Nimmo just signs an 8-year deal, $162 million. I think he's 2 or 3 years into that. Bam, he's moved for Marcus Semien, who, on the surface, obviously, when Julian was on, he was explaining how he's good in the clubhouse and everything. But it's like on the surface, it was like, man, basically making Marcus Semien almost come in and have to replace Brandon Nimmo, who we've watched grow throughout his career. Then winter meetings day one, it was like, oh, okay, nothing really crazy's happening. I'm watching Mets hot stove. Andy Martino's like, yeah, you know, the Edwin Diaz market's whatever. The Pete Alonso market's kind of moving a lot slower than the Edwin Diaz. So there might be a resolution, Edwin Diaz. And I think at that time, everybody was like, oh, well, you know, Devin Williams, we got him, but he's an eighth inning guy. We want Edwin Diaz. And then, bam, Edwin Diaz to the Dodgers. I think Alonso or somebody actually was the first person who, like, sent it and broke it to me. And so I was just like, ah, crap. And then I just figured, okay. And then it's like going through your head. You're like, so they must have given him the 5 years. And then it's like, oh, terms come out. 3 years, 96, or no, $69 million. And then the Mets give $66 million. And then their stories come out. They're like, oh, Edwin Diaz wasn't happy that – they didn't tell him about Devin Williams, even though he was still a free agent. So it would kind of been weird where it's like, hey, we're signing Devin Williams in case you don't come back. But if you do come back, he's the eighth inning guy. Like, that whole thing got all convoluted. And that one, I felt like, to be honest, was probably the biggest out of the three, because it just felt like he was the best at his position in baseball, or at least one of. Whereas I felt like Brandon Nimmo was like, it stinks. He was loved by the fan base, but he's kind of replaceable, especially in the outfield. Pete Alonso, it just felt like that was like a, you know, the parents are broken up, but they're still trying to make it work for a year situation. So it was like you kind of felt that one coming. I mean, it was obviously a shock today or yesterday when they officially announced, you know, that it comes down that bam, he gets the 5 years from the Orioles and they just pivot from Schwarber to him. And with the Mets, all the reports coming out that they were only going to give 3 years, much like last year, it was like, okay, that felt like it was kind of doomed from the start. But I think the Edwin Diaz one was the
So
one
that was
that
the one that
really
surprised you the most.
it surprised me the most, and I think still kind of kills me the most because it just feels like these other kind of finagling we're gonna do in the bullpen now is gonna be pretty wild. And it's also like the simple fact of it's like, yes, the underlying numbers are great for Devin Williams. Yes, he had a decent second half with the Yankees, but it's just like you're looking at it and you're like, he was great his entire career. He's coming off an all-time clunker, and it's like, all right, we're getting rid of our guy that basically saved our butt for like most of the past couple seasons for a guy who came in and was it was kind of, you know, not nearly as good as what he was in the past. And it's then.
Did if you had to say if you were going to put up a poll of Mets fans,
Yeah.
what percentage of Mets fans do you think thought that Pete Alonso would be coming back?
I would say it honestly would have probably been 50-50 if they were
Really?
really like keep it, like if they were just like completely out of the loop and were
And
just like,
okay,
hey, do whatever it takes to bring them back. What?
so do you think that those people, the majority of those people, wanted him to come back because of what you said? You know, you want to keep some semblance of the band together. You know what you have, the familiarity. Yes, he's a good player, but you know that we don't want to turn things over. Turning things over is always uncomfortable, and that's sort of why. You look at what the Phillies did with Schwarber, there is that sense of oh, you know, you, as I said to Julian, I mean, we can't forget that the Phillies are a really, really good team. Like they're really, really good team. So don't just take have them an enema for the Phillies out of nowhere and just completely gut it because they're a really, really good team. And if you bring Schwarber back, that's part of the solution, not part of the problem. I think it with Alonso, there was this sentimentality with him, right? That would be accurate, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, definitely. And it also felt like that core was there for so long. And it's one of those things where it's like right at the end of the year, obviously they miss out on the playoffs and everybody's being very reactionary. And in hindsight, when you look at like the main years that the core had been together, you're like they outside of like the 1 year where they made it to the NLCS, like they hadn't really had a whole ton of success. But it was like right after the year's over, everybody's like, blow it up. But I don't think in the back of their minds they're like, all right, Diaz, Nimmo, and Alonso will all be gone, you know, and who knows what else might happen. But I think it's just one of those things where it's like, in theory, you're like, yeah, we should blow it up. But then when it's actually happening, you're like, oh, well, wait, hold
Well,
on.
I
You
mean,
know,
is
so.
tell me, and you have the pulse of the fan base. Are people? It's one thing to say, oh well, whatever. We're not going to pay Pete Alonso as a foregone conclusion, but usually you have some semblance of an answer for it, and that's why I think that for teams that were interested in Pete Alonso or Schwarber, that you can't just say, oh well. Because they both have a very specific skill set, and that is to hit home runs. And it's like that's not an easy thing to find. Like that is the thing. So, okay, all right, fine. You didn't get Kyle Schwarber, and this is what happened with the Orioles, right? The Orioles said, we didn't get Kyle Schwarber, and we need that, and we're going after him for a specific reason because he hits home runs. And I probably a semblance of veteran leadership, whatever. And we didn't get him. Well, who has that skill set? Not a lot of guys have that skill set, but just so happens there's another guy in free agent market who has that skill set, which we'll pay the exact same number to, you know?
And I think the main thing I've noticed just from like listening to stuff and reading stuff today is like the main thing that I think people come down on is not necessarily like the players directly, but it's more so like we figured that since we have an owner who will pay seemingly whatever it's worth to get the guy he wants. It always seems kind of crazy to fans that it's like, why would you let him go for $3 million? Why would you let him go for, you know, one less year? Why would you let it, like, you know, like if Pete Alonso is going to automatically go to crap after his third year, like nobody just really, it's like, it's kind of like thinking in the moment where it's like, we have an owner that can spend like that. Why don't we use that to our advantage? We did last year. So then I think it's kind of getting greedy. And also, I think the situation too is the tricky thing is like you lose Pete Alonso and now the pivot is like Cody Bellinger, who's not going to provide the same amount of home runs. Obviously, Josh Naylor's gone. The top first baseman besides him is probably gone. The Kyle Schwarber, if you're just replacing the bats, gone. So then you're just left with, like, I saw the latest rumors, like, Wilson Contreras from the Cardinals might be on the market, and he might come. And it's like, yeah, sure, he might be a better defender. So if you're strictly looking at that run prevention thing that Stearns always talks about, you might get that in a Wilson Contreras, but with the bat, you're not going to get anywhere.
Do you think they were freaked out by that? Do you think I remember sitting in on Stearns at the GM meetings, and so much of it was about defense. We're going to be better defensively. You know, obviously, you know, they wanted to be better defensively, like by player acquisition. They get Kai Correa. He's going to, sprinkle magic dust all over everybody and like, oh, make you better defenders. But do you think that freaked them out a little bit when it came to Alonso?
I think so. Yeah. And I think, and it, as much as I tried to just be like, it's kind of a stupid sentiment where it was like Soto and Alonso were almost Cohen's guys, whereas Stearns was the rest of the offseason. I was always like, it's, you can't really, I don't know if you could completely say that, but it did seem like Stearns was like, yeah, I don't mind having Alonso, but it did feel like it was more so like, I'll have him, but it's not the guy
that's dying to have on my roster. That's a great point. Yeah. I feel like, and this is, people have said this after the Alonso thing happened, kind of dissecting, well, you went out and get Soto last year, and a lot of people say that Steve Cohen's getting Soto. Like, for that guy, he'll get that guy. Like, the owner will step in. Alonso isn't quite at that level. So yeah. I think that Cohen probably deferred a little bit to Stearns, right?
Yeah.
But it's interesting because you know that Cohen's sitting there and he's trying desperately to say, hey, I trust you know what you're doing here, right? Because we're taking some hits with the fans. We've already seen Cohen come out and, like, address the fans, like, say, nothing to see, you know, the Kevin Bacon Animal House line. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny thing because I saw, like, a couple polls online where it's like, who would you blame most? You know, the player, Cohen, Stearns, all three or whatever. And it's very split. And it's also kind of a funny situation, too, because with losing all these guys in a span of like 2 months, it feels like, because Steve Cohen, obviously around Citi Field, like few other owners, every fan just loves to see him. He could sit like with the fans and they have no problem with it. And I'm sure, like, seeing how much vitriol he's getting right now from the fans for letting all these guys leave, I'm sure it's like, that's going to make my life a bit more difficult. Whoa. When I sit with the fans, it's not just going to be like, Steve, you got us exactly what we wanted. Now it's going to be like, Steve, why'd you do this?
It does feel, though, you know, between Nimmo and Alonso, it does feel, and somebody said this, they're going to walk Soto a million times, you know, and it's like, okay, well, you know, you get a Bellinger, what's that look like?
Yeah.
I like Cody Bellinger as a player, but in terms of impacting like a game, I don't know if like he, I don't know. It's all, what drives me nuts is that how everybody looks at this in the modeling thing. The modeling thing drives me nuts. And so many teams are doing it where they say, this is our model. This is how we see it. This is going to work. This, if we do this and do that and do this, instead of saying, as Julian McWilliams said, use the eye test.
There you go.
And this is what the Orioles did. I mean, that's the ironic thing about this, right? Is that as much as we say, well, the Red Sox undervalued Alonso, the Mets undervalued Alonso because they have this new age way of doing things. Well, the Orioles were supposed to be in that class too, and they went out and got the guy.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah, That did feel like a, because it felt like, just based on the stuff you read about it, like, oh, the owner's dying to give Elias the money and Elias is not spending it. That did feel like a bit of like the owner's like, all right, we gave all that money to Schwarber, but he said, screw you guys, I'm going to get
Coca-Cola for the big, for the small, the short and the tall, peacemakers, risk takers, for the optimists, pessimists, for long distance love, for introverts and extroverts, the thinkers and the doers, for old friends and new, Coca-Cola for everyone. Pick up some Coca-Cola at a store near you.
The same deal in Philly. Let's go after the next best, power hitter. And it really did feel like whoever actually gave him those 5 years and the, solid AAV, it felt like they were going to get him regardless. So once you saw the terms of it, when it officially came out, it was like, that makes a ton of sense. But it's just weird with the Mets plan. Cause it's like, obviously it's like, I wouldn't mind a Carson Benj or a Jet Williams being on the team, but it just feels like some of the whole, like they have so many holes to plug, and it just feels kind of weird. Where it's like, hey, we want to compete, but we will be starting five rookies in our starting lineup around Lindor and Soto this year, which is
so
kind of bizarre.
With the understanding that it's not your money, that you're just shy of Steve Cohen's bank account, but with the understanding that it's not your money, if the Mets signed Pete Alonso to the contract he got with the Orioles, Would you have been all right with it? What would have been the reaction? And I know that the easy answer to that is like, well, it's not my money, go ahead. But you know how some people are, like, oh, you're overpaid.
Yeah.
So what do you think the reaction would be?
I mean, I personally would have been fine with it just because I'm always constantly thinking of like, oh man, if we don't get that guy, who's the next best option? And at this point, it's Ryan O'Hearn, it's Murakami, and it's maybe Wilson Contreras. And I'm just like, from a bat perspective, I think, especially losing out on like a Nimmo and losing out, and you're going to have to plug these holes in with like a Lars Nootbaar or some of these options coming out. I just feel like if you have the Lindor, Soto, Alonso, despite the fact that it didn't really pan out as much as it wanted to last year, I feel like that's the best offensive lineup. And I know that, some people are like, oh, that might age badly on the back end, but it's like, I don't know. I feel like that's
they all age badly in the back end. Like,
and it's not one of those things like Andrew Friedman said, like you've said in the past too, with the whole like if you spend rationally on every free agent, you're gonna finish third on every free agent. And it feels like that it's like it's such a weird like kind of juxtaposition, and Sammy was actually like tweeting at me today about it. And it's so bizarre because it does feel like it's like when Stearns has the keys, he's much more being the rational guy, when in reality, in free agency, being the rational guy, and even in trades, being the rational guy is not going to get you a Freddie Peralta or Tarik Skubal or a Pete Alonso. It's going to get you, Michael King and Michael King and Wilson Contreras.
It is so true, and I'm glad you brought that up. That whole, who said that? Was it J.P. Ricciardi? No, who was it? Like, who was it? Like, if you're,
I think the main one was Friedman. I know
Friedman
also,
said it. But that was way back.
Back
in 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and what was the exact quote again?
It was like, if you spend rationally or like act rationally on every free agent, you're going to finish third on every free agent, was more or less the quote. It might've been a little like the words might've been a tad bit different, but that was kind of the gist of it. Like if you think like that's a fair offer and that's the offer that is what we're going to have our limit at, you're probably not going to get the guy. Whereas if you say we'll do what it takes to get the guy, you're going to get the guy. And that's what Dodgers did with Diaz. And that's why they now have
right
crazy ass, roster in full.
And so there's that part of it. And then there's also, there's the line that, executive told me this during the season, and it goes back to the modeling. I hate that word, modeling.
Yeah.
and they said, if you have an organization and you are relying so much on your models, you'll never be able to sign a significant free agent.
Yeah.
Because like that's the model. Like because the models don't show everything. The models, I said this all along with Alonzo. You can pick this guy apart. I understand, like, defense, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, and same thing maybe with Bregman. I don't know, but you're like, you're never gonna, you have to break off from that. And I don't think teams are a lot of times now willing to break off of it. It's sort of like the technology has become so accurate in their mind.
Yeah.
That they're like, why would we branch off from this technology? Well, because it's baseball, because it's 162, because it's human beings. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then that's how the Mets obviously last year ended up in kind of the situation they were, because it was like, why would we sign a Max Fried when we can turn Frankie Montas into a Max Fried? And then they release him a year into his contract because he gets hurt and has like a 7 ERA as a Met. So that's that's kind of the situation you run into. It's like, oh, we can sign, you know, we could sign Joey Gallo as a pitcher and turn him into Max Fried with the right pitching coach. Where in reality, it's like, no, you just got to sign the guy, because, you know, his track record and his mindset and everything else is the reason that he makes him that. And it's not just like a thing you could plug into somebody. So,
yeah. Well, so in synopsis to you, like, what's your vibe now? This is the Mets fandom, the Mets fans, the world of the Mets is so nutty right now. Because I don't think they can say, well, in Stearns we trust. Like, he doesn't have that going. Sometimes guys, when they do stuff like that, if Cashman does stuff or Friedman or whatever, like, oh, well, in this so-and-so we trust.
Yeah.
No, they're not saying that right now about him. They're like, hey, you better do something really quick here. I mean, that's the vibe, right?
Yeah, because it just feels like he comes over, and of course, you know, he had a great time in Milwaukee, so he came over with glowing reviews. And the first year, you know, everybody doubted him, and he had a very down off season because they weren't really spending the big money, and they have their best season yet. Last off season, everybody's like, okay, and David Stearns we trust, whatever, and then most of them don't work out really outside of Soto and Alonzo to a degree. So this off season, I think it's just like, it's one of those tricky things where it's like you're asking for patience and all this stuff, but it's like, you know, I think the mindset of the fan is like, oh, well, you know, financials are our superpower, and right now, you know, we're revamping the organization, and we're kind of scared of what the current result is, because obviously when you're really living in it every day and you're watching MLB Network and they put up the projected lineup as of today and you see some of the names on there, you're like, we might not win 70 games. So, but then it's like, obviously if you go out and you improve the rotation and you get a top line starter and you get another, you know, closer like reliever and you get maybe one or two solid bats in the lineup, then the fans will start coming back around and being like, all right, you know, it might not be the same guys, but it's definitely quality guys. But in the moment right now, it's just like, man, we are completely in shambles right now. And it seems like other teams in the division are getting better, and we just seem to be kind of stuck in the same place. So,
well, it's all right. It's okay. It's all right. Yeah. Is Reed Garrett still on the team?
Yeah, yeah. It was funny. I have some stuff. Like, I have, like, a yearbook over here from when Justin Verlander was on the team. And then I have – last year, they did a Sports Illustrated cover of the Mets at spring training, and it was Soto, Lindor, Vientos, Manaea, and then it was Pete Alonso, Edwin Diaz, and Brandon Nimmo. So I'm like, if Vientos, let's say, gets traded, there's, like, two guys left on that cover from last year that are supposed to be, like, the main guys of the team. So it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
I just got to stop buying any kind of jerseys. Yeah. I just got to stick to, like, the names. It's just, like, O'Brien 25 on the back of the jersey.
Has there ever been an O'Brien that had actually, like, played for the Mets? No?
No. I wish. That would be pretty interesting.
There used to be a Pete O'Brien, you know.
Peter O'Brien, yeah.
Yeah. So, if you can find that shirt.
But, yeah, no, it's always funny with the sports.
Which would you rather have, in the spirit of giving, is the holiday season coming up? And obviously, we give the best gifts here at Baseball Support. Which usually come from Swing Juice and the Virgin of T-shirts. Which would you rather have? A neon light for your backdrop or a Mets jersey that has O'Brien on the back?
That's a good question. I'd probably do the neon light.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm writing that down. All
but
right.
It's also one of those funny things because I was just thinking about the jersey I do have. And the main one I just got to keep pulling out is David Wright because it's like you can't go wrong with that. That's what you really got to do. You got to buy them after they retire and they were still like legends in that franchise and then be like, oh, this is vintage. You know, this is from 2005. Instead of being like, yeah, I bought this the second this guy signed and now he got traded 2 years later because they didn't like the clubhouse chemistry or whatever. So
yeah, well, I have my Chad Bradford t-shirt shirt, so
there you go.
All right, well, I'm glad you I you know, take some melatonin, get some sleep, they'll bounce back, who knows. This is a thing, everyone's riled up,
yeah,
about everything. There's still a long way to go. Just the winter meetings are over. Everyone wants all the stuff to be done at the winter meetings.
Yeah.
I get it. But it's a process. Unfortunately, believe me, I want it to be over. Yeah, I want it all to be over. But it's not. It's a process. We can continue.
There
all
you
right.
Go.
All right. Good job. Cool.